are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Pistons podcast. I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me on Twitter at Kuka Hill NBA. You can find me on YouTube at Kuz Ballroom. You can also find me over at Detroit Bad Boys, writing articles about the Pistons. And right off the bat, before we even start talking about what we're going to, you know, cover in this podcast, I think everyone knows we're going to talk about the summer league game between Jalen Green and the Houston Rockets and the Cade Cunningham and the Detroit Pistons. Let me just say this real quick. Am I the only one not having as much fun as I thought I was going to have with the summer league? Like, I thought I was going to be sitting here really enjoying my time watching these games. I found myself more so through these last two games really just not enjoying it at all. Find myself cringing a lot of the times. Found myself just like I don't even know, like, analyzing the game too much because there's just so much, like, stupid stuff going on, stuff I just don't really want to see going on. I don't know. Let me know if you guys are having just as much fun or no fun at all. Just let me know how you guys are doing with it. I'm not having as much fun as I thought I would. But anyways, let's get into this game. So obviously, the Detroit Pistons lost to Jalen Green and the Houston Rockets. 111-91, got destroyed. Kind of followed the same tune as previous games. The game was, the Pistons dominated early, I think. They were doing really good early. Subs came in, game completely turned around, and after that it was pretty much over with, even though the Pistons tried to make it a close game late, or I should say Cade Cunningham tried to make it close late. He did what he could. He ended the game with 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block. 8 of 18 from the field, 4 of 9 from deep. So obviously there's many things I want to talk about on the podcast from this game and just overall what we've seen from Summer League over the past two games. But obviously the most important thing that everybody really wants to hear is my thoughts on Cade Cunningham versus Jalen Green. So first, let me just say, Jalen Green is going to be a good player. I think he's going to be a really good player. Like, I'm not wishing him any like bad luck or anything. But I think you saw, like, in this game especially, that what it is that sets Cade Cunningham away from Jalen Green. So first off, like, early on in the game, Jalen Green was really, really struggling from the Pistons blitzing him on pick and rolls and basically pressuring him at all. He turned the ball over 4 times in I think the first like 4.5 minutes. He was really struggling with that, and I feel like just throughout the game, you really got like an idea of what it is that makes Cade Cunningham better than Jalen Green. Jalen Green is out there to score. He's looking to score. Cade Cunningham changes the game. He tries to make his teammates better. He can score, but he also impacts the game in multiple different areas, and you saw that tonight. He didn't shoot the best still from the field. I feel like there's probably a couple shots that he wishes he had back, but that's not a big deal as long as he's creating the space that you expect to see from which he is. Those shots will eventually drop. Like, it's just, he's just not shooting as best as he could right now. And still, it's 8 of 18 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3. It's not awful. But either way, he would have, Cade, that is, Cade would have had like 15 assists tonight if the Pistons could shoot anything, could make anything, like, legit. Outside of Cade's 4 threes, if you take Cade's attempts and his made threes completely out of this game, the Pistons would have been 3 of 26. From the field, or not from the field, from beyond the arc. That's pitiful. The only people outside of Cade to hit a three was Sadiq Bey, who was 1 of 6. Luka Garza, 1 of 2. And Saben Lee. And Saben Lee's three wasn't no catch and shoot one either. It was a end of shot clock heave that he had to throw up there. So it wasn't like that really was in the flow of a game or a kick out or anything like that. So really, they only hit 2 threes in the flow of the game. That's awful. That like, this team really desperately needs shooting. And it's really hampering Cade Cunningham's stats, which I know people are going to look at and be like, oh, look at his stats compared to everybody else. It's not that great, blah, blah, blah. If he simply had guys that could hit an open shot, he legit would probably be averaging a double-double right now. Like, no joke. The Pistons desperately wish they had shooting on this roster, but even worse than shooting, they probably wish they had a big man on the roster, but that's something we'll talk about later on in the podcast. But the matchup between Cade and Jalen Green, I think it was pretty fun, I guess. It was an interesting experience, I would say. It definitely, I don't think, lived up to the hype that people thought it was going to be. I just think it just wasn't as fun as people thought it was going to be. I mean, I guess I'll just leave it at that. though Jalen Green ended the game with 25 points on 11 shots. Really efficient game. A lot of his damage came at the free throw line early on. He got a few free throws that, you know, Pistons were pretty upset with. But also later on in the game, he made a couple cool drives that the Pistons just straight up fouled him on to stop him from making a layup. And he was pretty efficient tonight. So he had himself a good game scoring-wise. He really struggled, I think, with pressure, especially from Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes was really bullying him on the defensive end for the majority of this game, anytime he was on him. Kate also was giving him fits as well. He was trying to get them switched off him as much as possible. But them two did a really good job, I think, on him. A lot of his points, I believe someone tweeted out that 18 of his points came when Kate Cunningham was on the bench. That would make sense. Definitely he didn't score very many times on Killian either. Killian was really just pushing him around, stronger than him. It was really good to see from Killian. But from Cade's side, Cade had a much better night, I think, and he also scored 20 points. So, you know, it was nice to see him, I guess, break the 20-point threshold, that is. But, I mean, I think the bigger story for the Pistons this game, I don't really want to talk about Cade. I know that's, like, the big story. But, like, I really just want to talk about everything else that happened, because Cade was basically the only player who could do anything on offense tonight. Luka Garza was doing his thing. But I really just want to talk about everything else that happened, because everything else really just made, and not just this game, but last game too, has made Summer League, like, really unfun to watch. It's really just been, like, frustrating to watch and annoying, and I find myself literally, I'm not joking, sitting there, like, annoyed watching more than I am, like, having fun. And that shouldn't be the case with Summer League, but that's just how I feel about it. So we'll talk about all of that coming back. But yeah, Kay Cunningham had a fine game, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, and a block. He could have shot the ball a little bit better, yeah, but, you know, he also could have probably had 10 assists if his teammates could hit a shot. But when we come back, we're going to talk about everything else that happened in this game that is really having me, like, feeling a type of way, and I have to talk about it. For me, it's more important than the Cade and Jalen Green matchup, which, again, I don't think even really lived up to the hype that everyone was expecting of it. So anyways, like I said, when we come back from this ad break, we'll talk about everything else within this game. But before we get into any of that, let me tell you about one of our sponsors, Headspace. Wouldn't it be great if there were a pocket-suited guide that helped you sleep, focus, act, and be better? Well, there is. If you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations and an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. According to this research, just 30 days of Headspace lowers stress by 32%, and just 4 sessions can reduce burnout by 14%. Only 3 weeks of use with Headspace has shown to cut aggressions to negative feedback by a whopping 57%. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. Yes, that's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best year offered right now. Make sure to head over to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. And now let me tell you about your favorite sponsor, Built Bar. The best tasting protein bar on the planet Earth comes with a variety of flavors, including 6 new flavors in caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All flavors are covered in incredible tasting chocolate and are soft and easy on the teeth to chew. These bars are low in calorie and sugar, but high in protein and fiber. A flavor I'd suggest is the peanut butter flavor, packed in 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams net carbs. So go try the Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. But yeah, anyways, guys, I really want to talk about everything else that happened in this game. I've said it multiple times already, but I just really think that Jalen Green-Cade Cunningham matchup didn't live up to the hype, and it was majority due to the rest of the players on the court, in my opinion. Houston, by the way, has a few young pieces over there that they should be really happy about and should be a lot of fun for them. They have Josh Christopher, and they also have Sagun, which, by the way, he's going to look like an MVP. People are going to be talking about, I already saw, actually, people talking about him possibly being a Rookie of the Year sleeper due to his performance against the Pistons. And I just wish people would realize the Pistons don't have anyone on their team that's capable of playing interior defense. And probably the best person at that right now on the squad in the Summer League is Sekou. And Sekou probably is out, like, weighed by him by about 30 pounds or so. So he was going to dominate, and he absolutely did. But what I really want to talk about in this game is just the things that really are, like, making it hard to watch. And I want to preface this with, I understand it's the Summer League. I understand what goes on here. You're supposed to, you know, do things that are supposed to get players out of their comfort zone, or like work on things that you not necessarily are great at, but trying to work on, like, obviously all those kind of things. I get all of that. But like, I've watched every Pistons Summer League since I like started watching the Pistons for real. Like, I think you'd go back to like 2011. I think I've watched. So I've watched like every one since then, and I've had fun watching every single one. And this one right here, I'm just not having very much fun at all. So let me just go through the reasons. One, the Pistons don't have any shooting out here. It's very tough to watch this team play in the Summer League with no shooting. It's just really, it's really hard to watch because the paint just gets like packed, and it's really hard for anyone really to drive and do anything because everyone's just doubling down. Two, they have no big man, and the person they have trying to play big man, Tyler Cook, is playing some of the worst basketball I've ever seen. It's literally awful. He's not trying at all on defense, it seems like. He's playing really bad on the defensive end, and on offense, he's not really like making an impact on that end either. So it's really tough. It's tough to watch like the Pistons just get absolutely destroyed by anybody who's over the height of 6'10 and has any some kind of body on him. They're just going to get obliterated by them. So I also think it kind of sucks because the Pistons were like supposed to be one of the Summer League favorites, and they're just getting absolutely obliterated. And I guess that's part of the reason why. I mean, I'm trying to look at it from a non-biased point of view, but definitely the fan in me is like, man, this is kind of boring to watch, and it definitely sucks to see you like lose nonstop. But beyond all of that, some of the lineups that are being played out there also just like doesn't make sense to me. Like, for example, like, I get the whole we're gonna play Cade off the ball, you know, try to get him comfortable doing that because you're gonna have to do that a lot this season. Like, I get all of that, but then my question to you is, okay, well, why aren't we doing that with Killian Hayes running point guard? Why are we also making Killian play off ball and getting, like, Saben Lee nonstop? Like, I've seen enough of Saben Lee and Tyler Cook for, like, the rest of my life. Like, this has been a way too heavy dose of Saben Lee and Tyler Cook. It's been so hard to watch. It's really been bad to watch. And Saben Lee out there with Tyler Cook at the same time, like, in the fourth quarter, they had Saben Lee, Killian Hayes, Kate Cunningham, Sadiq, and Tyler Cook. Having Saben and Tyler Cook on the same on the floor together is like a recipe for disaster because neither of them can shoot. And the book is out on Killian right now. He's not shooting well from beyond the arc. I don't think he's really had, I think he only had one opportunity and catches two situations. I think everything else has been off the dribble, but they're not respected him shooting either. So it's just really tough for anybody else to do anything. So yeah, it's just really tough to watch, man. And the fact that they have nobody who is capable of playing defense at all on the interior, like, they just put whoever's in there and pick and roll and just post them up, and it's literally just like a layup line. So it's just really bad. So like, the overall basketball quality has just been really bad in my opinion. It's been tough to watch because of it. And then the fun reasons for why you wanted to watch, and the fun things you guys like, the reasons why we're watching are for the four main guys. Like, it's for Cade, Killian, Sekou, and Sadiq. And the way the Pistons are playing, It's we're not even getting them in a featured role. Like, none of them are really getting featured in this. Like, Cade was featured a lot more today. I'll say that. He was featured a lot more today, and it was fun to see him, like, break Jalen Green's ankles in that one play. That was extremely fun. But outside of him, I mean, Sadiq frustrates me more than I like watching him. I know he made some good passes today, but then sometimes he just still has those plays, even today, where he just doesn't pass the ball when people are wide open. He forces something he shouldn't. Those kind of plays really get on my nerves and just really makes it hard to watch. Even though he did, like I said, he did make a few passes today that he hadn't been making at all last year and didn't make it all in the last game. So that was good to see, I guess. But overall, it's just not fun to watch. And then with Sekou, I mean, they tried in stretches to run Sekou with like pick and rolls and use him as a screener like I asked for on the last podcast. And he looked really good, I think, doing it. He had that one drive on Sekou and finished with a nice Euro step, went to his body and absorbed it, whatever. He finished really well. I thought that was really nice to see. But outside of that, like I've told you guys over and over with Sekou, like, I thought in Summer League it was for you to like work on things you don't really do well. And I haven't seen him really got to handle the ball at all. He hasn't went coast to coast like he did last year towards the end of the year. He hasn't went coast to coast doing that. He hasn't like posted up very much. He posted up once yesterday. He hasn't really been asked to do anything. And I guess that's not, like, and he still played pretty well. Like, his defense has been really, really good, and he's been making strides around the rim still on offense, but his shot just isn't coming along at all. But still, it's just like, we wanted to see Sekou, like, do things. We wanted to see him have the ball in his hands to actually try to do things. And that's the same thing for Killian Hayes. Like, I see that people are, like, spazzing on Killian Hayes, and I really don't get it. Because Killian didn't have, like a high usage today at all. Like, give you an example, Saben Lee had 7 shots. Killian Hayes had 8. Like, Saben Lee was, and Saben Lee had 8 free throws. Like, the whole reason why, and this was the big topic of discussion on Twitter yesterday, the whole Killian Hayes and Kate Cunningham has 0 free throws. Like, they weren't featured at all like Saben Lee was. Saben Lee was being given the keys to the offense, and he was running everything, and he literally was just doing whatever he wanted. He just kept trying to shoot and score every single time he had the ball, okay? And I can't blame him, you know? If I'm out there, I'm a sub league team, I know I'm not going to get many reps during the season, I'm out there trying to get mines. Like, I can't blame him. But, like, Killian and Cade aren't being put in position to do that, especially Killian. Killian, on the few attempts that he had, he went 3 of 8 from the field, but he was 0 for 4 from deep. So, if you take those 4 three-point attempts away, he was 3 of 4 from the field. And of those 4 attempts, he had 2 nice floaters at the beginning of the lane. He had a few nice kickouts off driving into the lane. He had 1 pull-up jump. He had a floater that he finished going to his right when he got inside the key. He had another floater going to his left, and he had a nice dribble pull-up mid-range that looked really, really smooth all off the dribble getting into the paint. So all that stuff looked good, but then outside of that, he didn't get any opportunities to do that because, you know, you got Killian and Kay playing off-ball. So it's like, well, that's definitely a thing that Killian has to improve, the whole getting to the paint and getting to the free throw line, going into the body, you know, all that stuff. Absorbing contact now that he's stronger. Like, I don't know if we can really say that he can't do that yet or that he hasn't improved in that because he hasn't really been, like, put in many, like, reps to do it. Like, anytime he's gotten into the paint, I think he's made the right decision almost every time. Like, he's finished with the floater multiple times. He's had a couple good midi pull-ups. Like, if he's making those shots and he's getting to where he wants, then he's doing his thing. And he's had a good couple passes, too. So, I just don't think he's been given that many reps to really go into a defender and, like, try to draw a foul. And I said on the last podcast, in the first game, he did do that at the end of the game. He drove coast to coast and went straight into the body of the defender and drew the foul and got some free throws out of it. Outside of that, I just haven't really seen any other scenario where he could. And also, I might add that the refs, like, if you look at the foul calls, like, there's a lot of fouls. But I still feel like that they are swallowing their whistle on a lot of, like contact around the rim. They're allowing a lot of physicality, which is usually the case in summer league. They allow you to be a lot more physical. But overall, my point, I think Killian played, like, in his limited reps of actually handling the ball, I thought he looked good. And that's part of the reason why it's, like, so frustrating to, like, you know, I'm not having as much fun. Because the players I wanted to see with the ball in their hands, Sekou, Killian, Cade, they're not really having the ball in their hands as much. And Saben Lee's running the show. So it's just like, I don't know. It just hasn't been fun to watch. And we haven't really been able to see, like, did these players improve in certain areas? Like, the only thing we're able to see is, did they improve in outside shooting? And I don't feel like that's the only thing that matters. That's not the only thing they need to improve on in their games. Like, for example, with Sekou needs to get stronger. I feel like you can see that on the defensive end. You need to see if he can, like, if his finishing around the rim is carrying over. We've only seen, like, 2 attempts he's been able to have, and he's finished both of them. He did miss that fast break one. But I'm not really counting that as, like, I don't think anyone's really going to count that as him not being able to finish around them. That's just a bunny that he'll make any other time. He just missed a bunny there. It is what it is. But outside of that, it's like he'd only had like 2 or 3 other attempts around the rim to really try that, and he's finished both of them. But, like, come on, Summer League, you should have more reps. Same with Killian. Like, Killian should have way more reps in the paint, running pick and rolls, running sets with Sekou or Garza, or even, like, with Cade and all that. Like, even today, the one thing I will say that was really fun to watch with Cade is that they actually did give him some post-up opportunities. We didn't get any of that in the first game. We actually got some of that here tonight, and it looked good both times. But it's just like, yeah, I feel like the reason why all of us wanted to tune into Summer League and the reason why all of us were so excited for the Summer League, none of that's happening. Like, we're not even getting what we wanted to see. And I'm sure the coaching staff and the GM and you know, everybody in the organization has a reason for this. After all, it is Summer League. It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, I guess. Like, it's not that big of a deal. And they're using this for certain reasons, which Cade said after the game, you know, we're not, you know, it's Summer League. We're trying to get ready for the regular season. We're not really worried about Summer League stats, which makes sense. But even if I look at it through that lens, I don't really see how this is helping anybody. Having Saben Lee, Killian Hayes, and Cade out there with no spacing, and Saben Lee basically saying, I'm just going to go do me. I don't see how that's helping anybody. Like, they're not getting off-ball reps. They're not getting catch-and-shoot reps. They're not getting, like, off-screen reps. They're not getting cutting reps. Like, they're not getting any of those reps. We're just getting Saben Lee drives at the paint. And I don't see how that's really helping anybody, especially the fan watching or even the players on the court. Like, I don't see how that's helping anybody. So, I don't know, man. I hope the last few games are more fun than this is. This is, like, it just hasn't been as fun as I thought it was going to be. I just hope it gets a little bit more fun. But anyways, when we'll come back, we'll try to talk a little bit more about some highlights from this game. I don't think there was many, but we'll discuss some of the highlights that happened this past game. But before we get into that, let me tell you about another one of our sponsors, BetOnline AG. Betting is not legal in Michigan, and if you're anything like me, you want to take advantage of that instantly. However, there's one problem I constantly ran into. There's just so many different apps to bet through. Which betting app is the best to use? Which one is the best for me? That's why I found BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. The NFL season might be over, but the preseason is kicking up, so make sure you guys pay attention to your football. But the NBA Summer League and MLB are still in full swing. If you want to take your adventures beyond sports, however, BetOnline has you covered there too. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, things I didn't even know you could bet on. BetOnline has real-time updated odds and props and just about anything you can imagine. BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline now to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit, and make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Also, guys, the AC just is not working again. It's getting ridiculous, man. I don't know what to do. I've had the maintenance crew out here like three different times. They say they fix it, and then they just don't fix it. It's not fixed. So I'm sure that probably is hampering my mood, too. It's just like, what the hell, man? But anyways, like I said, we're going to try to end the podcast on a little bit of a high note. Try to think a little bit more positive. So I'm going to go down the list of all the things that, I mean, you can take away from the two Summer League games that are somewhat of positives and you can try to be happy about and try to look forward to the last three games. I have a vibe and I have a feeling that you guys also kind of feel the same way I do, that you're not having as much fun as you thought you would. And let me know if you guys feel that same way. But all right, here's some positives. One, Luka Garza is pretty good offensively. Like, he's pretty damn good. That's legit. His offensive game is very legit. It looks like his outside stroke is pretty legit. It looks nice, a soft touch. Like, both his makes have been pure wet, pure net. Like, it's just been really good. No bouncing around, no lucky shots, no off-back iron, like, none of that. It's been swish. It looks really good. He went 4-for-4 from the free throw line tonight. Like, everything about his offensive game, that one-legged fadeaway, that was insane. That was an incredible move. But his offensive game looks great. It really does. It really looks like he's pretty polished offensively. It looks like he has a really good touch around the rim, really good touch from outside. He even had a really good backdoor pass to, I believe it was, I forget who it was. I think it was either Saben Lee or Kay Cunningham. I forget who it was, but it was a really nice backdoor pass by him. So that's the positive with Luka Garza. I'm not going to talk about his defense because I said we're going to end the podcast on a high note. We're going to try to be positive here. So Luka Garza's offensive game, legit, really good. Really nice to see from him. Another positive, Sadiq Bey, while I harp on him a lot about his passing and his decision-making, his processing, all that's still true. A positive is that he 100% did work on his off-the-dribble game. Like, he did work on it. He shot 4 of 11 from the field, so, you know, it wasn't great. But you can definitely see, like, with some of the moves he's attempting and some of the handles that he's showing, that he did try to work on it. Now, like I've said, I don't think this is really going to work at all against NBA defenders because it's barely working against some of the league guys, but we're staying positive. And I'll take a positive way that Sadiq is 100%. Like, you can tell that he put in a lot of work in trying to develop that off-the-dribble game and try to develop inside the arc. He definitely has gotten better. We'll see where it hangs up in the NBA and how much he utilizes it, how much the Pistons want him to utilize it. But definitely, I'll give him credit. It's a positive that you're seeing him do a little bit more off the ball, and he definitely worked on it. So credit to him for that. Another positive. You guys see, it's. I'm struggling. I'm struggling to try to sort through positive because there's just not that many to take away. Sekou, I think Sekou is starting. One of you guys tweeted at me, actually, and it was really good what you guys said. I really agree with that. I think it was a really good point. I feel like Sekou is really zeroing in on, like, what he's really good at now. Like, in the past, like, I still feel like there's other things that he can do for the team that would be, like, better in Summer League. But anyways, I think he's zeroing in what he's good at. He knows that he can be a really good defender. He knows he can be a really explosive defender. He knows he can cause havoc. He can switch out on perimeter guys. He's able to use his length and all these other things. Like, he's able to do all these things defensively. I think he knows that, and that's where he's trying to make his, or, like, put his hat on. And especially with Dwayne Casey, that's definitely how you will get playing time, I guess. And he's done that in the Summer League, 100%. He has been really good defensively. He even had another block today. I think he might have even had two blocks. Let me look again. I know he had at least one. Yeah, he had one block, he had one steal, two assists, five rebounds, two offensive, 7 points. So I feel like he's doing a lot. His outside shot is disappointing. I hope that he is able to snap out of it and shoot better from beyond the arc the rest of the Summer League and use it the next, 2 months that they have to really improve it still, because they still do after Summer League. Like, the players still do have a lot of time to still get better. Like, the Summer League is still not going to be the finished product when they get this regular season. I hope everyone understands that. Like, there's still 2 months that they have to get better. This is nowhere near the end of their offseason. So that's why it's kind of like you have to take Summer League with a grain of salt, because it's literally like the very beginning of their offseason. Like, they're not, they still have plenty of time to develop and get better. So anyways, I hope he utilizes that to really, like, harp on his outside shot, because it really is confusing to me how he can shoot so well in the G League on decent attempts and just, like, not look really confident in his outside shot at all. But outside of that, I continue to say he looks really good going downhill. In the limited reps that we've gotten, he looks good finishing around the rim still, knows how to use his body. He looks like he's realizing how strong he is and using his strength. So there's a lot of small things to like with Sekou. I think he's had a really good Summer League. I think the Pistons, especially Dwayne Casey, have liked what they've seen from him. So there's another positive with Sekou. Killian Hayes. I really do feel like Killian Hayes, well, first off, he's gotten noticeably stronger and bigger. And I think he actually is more explosive and faster as well. I think his body, that was one of the things that people were worried about him coming into the league, seeing if he could develop that. He did that in one offseason. He looks fantastic physically. Like, he did a great job. You got to clap it up for him. He did an amazing job getting his body right. That's first. Second, I see him being more assertive. Like, I know that people are saying, oh, he doesn't have any free throws, or he's missing all his threes, or he only had 8 attempts. I'm telling you, if you just simply go back and try to be objective and watch the game, he was played off ball primarily. Like, he cannot play, like, assertive and trying to get to the rim and trying to get free throws off ball. Like, that's just not what's going to happen. And I'm sure they're trying to get him and Cade, like, more familiar with an off-ball role. I guess that might be why they're doing it. But that's not going to reveal itself in the box score. So people have to stop box score watching with it. Anyways, I really do feel like he's shown that he's gotten better. He's shown better touch around the rim, I think. He's shown much more confidence in his floater and getting into the paint. He's getting into the paint at will, to be honest, when he tries. He's getting into the paint. I think he's been a lot more assertive. He's taken middies at any time it's given to him, and every middie he's taken has looked really, really nice and really smooth. I really think everything outside of his three-point game, if you are trying to be unbiased with Killian Hayes, everything outside of his three-point game looks really good right now. Like, he looks like he's improved on it. He's improved his body. He's trying to be more assertive, more confident. He's trying more things. You can see that he's more confident, and he's playing better. So I'm really happy with everything outside of three-point shooting with Killian, legit. Like, you can just go down the list of everything outside of perimeter shooting, and I'm happy with it from Killian, and especially his defense. Like, obviously, these are not NBA guards, but what you want to see is guys, like, impose their will and show, yeah, these are not NBA guards. And Killian Hayes 100% was doing that. Like, even when he was guarding Jalen Green, he was completely bullying Jalen Green around. Like, you could tell that Jalen Green just couldn't match up with him physically. Jalen Green did not want him guarding him. He tried to get him switched off all the time. And Killian was just really just playing really physical with him and bossing him around. It was really good to see. So, again, everything outside the three-point shot with Killian, I think, has looked really good. And then Kate Cunningham, obviously, like, and you know what's really funny to me, actually, now that I look back on the podcast we've done since Summer League started, we don't really talk as much about Cade, because I feel like Cade is, like, more of a given. Like, it's hard to really, like, say, oh, yeah, we're shocked by this, or we're impressed by this, because all this stuff is, like, we really, like, expected to see from him. Like, I don't want to say we're not impressed. Obviously, you're impressed, but it's, like, not really shocking what he's doing. His off-the-dribble game, his pull-up off-the-dribble game is really nice, really smooth. His jumper is smooth as ever. I would like to see him get some free throws, get some free throw attempts, but I really don't think he's really being put in the opportunity to do that. And again, there's no real driving lanes on this team right now in Summer League for him to get to the paint. Like, it's just not happening. I'm telling you, if you haven't watched the game, go watch the game. If you did, you know what I'm talking about. The spacing is just not there. It's not going to happen. And even still, he did draw a few fouls in the paint or around the on the drives and stuff, but they just didn't count for free throws. So I don't think he has a problem not drawing fouls or anything. And again, it's Summer League. I'm trying not to put too much into Summer League. But Cade, I think he's shown why he's the number one pick. Like, he easily could, like I said earlier in the podcast, he could have easily had 10 assists tonight. Quite easily. Really, really easily. He got a lot of open shots for guys, a lot of open opportunities. Like, he makes his teammates better. He's a great vocal leader. You heard that on the mic'd up thing with ESPN. He's a great leader. He's always supporting his teammates. His defense was really good. Again, I really think that him and Killian are going to be one of the best. Like, I really want to see what they're going to do in the NBA against these guards on defense. Teams are not going to like going against them. It's really going to be a living hell. But with Cade, and there's not much to say with Cade. I think he's shown why he's number one overall pick. We're all happy with him. We would like to see him shoot from the field a little bit better. But, you know, outside of that, I mean, He is everything that he was built to be. He's a really good all-around player. He does everything you need to be. And you see why he was number one overall pick and what he's going to bring to the table for the Pistons. I just wish he had some spacing, any kind of spacing, please. Someone needs to start hitting threes. Even when your three-point shooters aren't hitting threes like Sadiq Bey, you're in trouble because the rest of the guys are not going to hit threes either. Last thing I want to say before we wrap up the podcast, I'm not joking. I would rather the Pistons run out Sekou at center. And I know there's a few people saying, well, Sekou's not a center. Yes, I understand he's not a center, but for this roster with the Summer League, like, he's the best, he has the best chance at defending in the interior, and it would, I think it gives the Pistons a better chance to win in the Summer League. It's just, it's really bad. And also, it gets him used in screen and roll and pick and roll games, because everyone else, like Garza and Cook, they're just awful defensively, and Cook's not even giving you anything offensively. He's actively hurting the team. He's just really bad, and Garza, while he does good things offensively, my God, is this defense bad. Like, there was one possession, I know the podcast at 31 minutes, but I have to say this. There was one possession, the Pistons tried to switch to a zone to, like, cover for Garza, and it was a three that, it was when Anthony Lamb hit that three at the top of the key, and literally, if you watch it, Garza is just, like, looking around in the middle, like, around the free throw line, wandering in no man's land. You see Sekou, like, looking at him, trying to point to him to get back to the basket or do something, because Sekou's guarding two on the block in the corner. He's like, what the hell's going on? Who are you guarding? You got Cade, who is, like, literally flying. Cade was literally flying wing to wing because Garza is legit just, like, looking around in no man's land. Like, it was, that possession right there was awful. Like, my God, is this defense bad. Garza, his dad makes you a fan of him. I don't know if any of you guys have seen him on Twitter, but his dad is literally his biggest cheerleader and just gets everyone on Pistons Twitter to support him. So you got to be a fan of his. His offensive game is really good, but my God, is his defense bad. It's holy cow. But anyways, let me know what you guys thought about the game, man. Let me know if you guys are having fun watching or not. I don't think I really am, but just definitely let me know what you guys are feeling about it. Thank you guys for listening to the podcast. I know it wasn't as maybe as fun or as entertaining as you guys hope it would be, but the Pistons haven't been fun and entertaining to watch, so I don't have much to really say about that. And two, this damn AC is really testing it with me. Like, we're going to have to go 1v1 at some point. But thank you guys for listening. I'll see you guys in the next podcast. Pistons play again on Friday. I forget who they go against. I believe it's Friday at 9 p.m., so be ready for that. Until the next podcast, I'll see you guys later. Peace out, everybody.